from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Hanging out with you until noon, then D'Lo and KC will take over and they will take you into the weekend. But man, what a treat. Charlie O in the building to start our second hour. Charlie, what's up, man?
Hey, man. I have been listening to the show all week.
Oh, thank God.
And enjoying it, by the way.
Come on.
Yeah, as I always do.
Charlie's, if you're unfamiliar with the station, Charlie is our boss. He is our brand manager.
And I've been listening to this whole discussion about Mike Brown. And I am getting to the point of just being so upset with the Kings over this issue. And here's the reason I'm upset about it, is that you've got smart guys who own the Kings that are treating this as a regular business. I've always said that I think Vivek Ranadive is one of the smartest people in the world. Mm-hmm. I've said that if I won the lottery, I would literally go and follow him everywhere that I could go and beg him to manage my money. Because obviously the guy knows how to make millions and billions and everything else. That's why the Berkeley Trust Fund has him run their investments and everything else. He's a smart guy.
Sure.
But they're trying to operate this situation on the court like they do a lot of businesses. And that is, if a guy has a Harvard MBA, he can run anything. And I've seen this happen in business after business. Okay, guy has a Harvard MBA, he can run a manufacturing company. He can run an airline. He can run this. He can run that. There are some businesses where you can't do that. And one of the places where you can't do that is coaches in the NBA are very, very special. You know that. James knows that. I know that. And we have a prime example of what happens when you mess with coaches and what kind of upset it can cause with the Kings. And I start with when the Kings dump Michael Malone. Michael Malone was on the precipice of turning the Kings around. Also dealing with a very difficult player. And they didn't like the style that he was playing on the court. So rather than giving him a chance to turn some things around and work with him and everything else, they dumped him. And then what did they go through? Okay, George Karl, Dave Yeager, Luke Walton.
Ty Corbin.
You know, yeah, whoever else was in the interim.
Alvin Gentry?
Yes.
I think I coached for a while. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, but you were. I liked you there. Yeah,
I probably did. But now we get back to Mike Brown, and all of a sudden Mike Brown puts them into the playoffs. Okay, and now, well, okay, he's all right, but we don't really need to pay him a whole lot because if he doesn't work out, we'll find somebody else. That is not true. These guys are special guys. They're specialty guys. They have experience, the ability to communicate and be with players and everything else. And why are they doing it? Because they're still paying off for their past mistakes. And so they want to be tight-fisted about it. Well, here's the problem that I'm having. Right now, Adam Silver is negotiating the largest television contract payoff in the history of the National Basketball Association. And he's not done. because the rumors are flying now that there may not just be three players. It looks like they still might include TNT and Warner Brothers in it, and there might be four. Man. So rather than there being $2.6 billion a year coming in, it could well jump over $3 billion a year. And if they're smart, that's what I would do, because NBC's cable deal is trash, and I think it's going to hurt them in the ratings if they do that. Plus the fact, God help us, Sunday night NBA basketball with Mike Tirico. Oh, my gosh. Where's the mute button? But anyway, but it's a situation there where they're not going to be hurting for money.
No.
So you can't hide behind, we're not going to have the money. So make the investment. Make the invest. At some point, you have to invest in your basketball team. You have to make a long-term investment in a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, okay, granted, Steve Ballmer, you know, this guy lets hundreds fall out of his pocket just for fun.
Sure.
Okay, and we understand that. And Vivek's not in that same category, nor are the minority investors. But at this point, you have got to invest in this team, and you've got to tell, I don't care about the fans. I don't care about sports talk show host at this point. You've got to tell your team. You got, yeah, that's what I said, James. I don't care about sports talk.
The insider's back on the break.
But you've got to tell your team.
Sure.
We've got somebody here for you for the long haul, because then the good vibes, the good play, all the things that you need, and for the free agents out there that you would like to get, and for the good draftees that would want to come and play and stay, know that you've got some stability. And until they establish stability, you know, it's going to be play-ins, first round and out, whatever else. And you know what? The Kings are not displaying stability at this time.
Stability is such an underrated thing in sports when it comes to just team construction.
Well, like, specifically in the NBA.
Yeah, you need good players for sure. You need good coaches for sure. But just keeping guys around and letting them work through things instead of at the first sign of trouble pulling the plug and going, oh, no, new thing, different thing. Like, that's where this team is. Like, Mike Brown is a good coach for it. And maybe they find out in a couple years, hey, you know what? This thing is maxed out. We need to take another leap. There has to be something different. But, like, right now is not it.
No.
Yeah, you're not there yet.
No.
And if you think you're there, then you...
That's a whole other
You
problem.
Really don't know the game that well. If you think that this team should have won 60 games and this team should be fighting for a title.
Yeah.
Like, then you don't really know what your product is. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's an even bigger problem. And stability, like, again, I've seen so much change. Like, this is my 9th head coach, Mike Brown is.
Crazy.
And my 14 years. Nine head coaches.
And it's not like you've been around for 40 years.
And I know someone goes, oh, you're counting interim coaches. Like, bro, there was Alvin Gentry is the only interim coach. No one else was an interim head coach. They gave all of them head coaching jobs.
That's
even
crazy.
Still, I don't care if you're counting interim coaches. 9 in 14 years is an insane amount.
Yes. There are other people out there that have never seen a coaching change.
I mean, think about this. The Oakland A's have been more stable at the manager's position than the Sacramento Kings have been at the coaching position.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean,
NBA's probably should have moved from Bob Melvin long before they did, but that's fine. Different story.
Sure.
They aimed for stability. Yeah, man. I think that's such a huge piece of, you know, when we sit here and we, again, not saying that Mike Brown is the best coach in the league or anything like that, but it's like, dude, with the direction the Kings are heading, the dude is in your building.
Well, Kyle, he had a 6-12 win percentage coming into Sacramento. That number's only dropped to 6-07. He put his sterling 6-12 career win percentage on the line to come to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only dropped that much in 2 years? That's nothing. He still has a 6.07 career win percentage. You want to compare him to Jason Kidd and his 5.22 career win percentage? That dude's been like...
Because Luka figured out how to win in the NBA.
Yeah, because he's got... Yeah.
Now, Jason Kidd, I don't want to... This is a little bit of a sidebar. Jason Kidd's done a really nice job in these playoffs.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really nice.
Surprisingly good job.
Yeah. But they extended him well before they went to the finals.
Yeah.
And James, isn't it true that in today's NBA, with the way things are lining up and coaches' contracts, you're always going to be paying off your last mistake?
Yeah. Yes. Like, very, very rarely do you get a coach who makes it to the final year. Like, that you haven't jettison. I mean, even like the Luke Walton thing, like for an example, they had signed him to a 4-year deal. He came back for year 3, and that's really it, so you didn't have to pay a whole nother coach. You paid an interim coach, which you might bump a guy up to like $2 million as interim, but you're not giving him a $5 or $8 million salary like at that time to take over the team. And especially with Luke having 2 years left on the deal. So you had Luke start the season. Then when you fired him 24 games into the season and had Alvin take over, it was as an interim tag. And so, yeah, you had to pay Luke the rest of that year and you had to pay him his next year, but you didn't pay an extra head coach there that one season. So when they hired Mike, yeah, they still had to pay Luke. They still, and again, they've already paid $14 million a year for a head coach. Mm-hmm. Or at least 10, because that's when you pay Luke mm-hmm. 5 and Mike 5 or whatever it is, that you're paying them over 10, yep. You know, combined. So that's where it's kind of like, what are we doing here? And again, to your point, if Mike is the wrong coach, he might be down the road. We don't know that yet, though. It's too early.
Sure. Yeah. Ultimately, I think this thing gets done. We'll be talking about Mike Brown and the Kings, and we're going to be way past this. Very, very soon. Charlie, thanks for hanging out, man.
Hey, guys, I had fun. Just wanted to jump in. Everybody who listens, everybody in the chatty house, we love you all. Thanks for being there. We appreciate you.
That's Charlie O. We'll come back. Hey, we'll talk about a non-Mike Brown thing when we come back. How about that? You want to try that?
Okay.
All right, let's try on a non-Mike Brown thing for size. Coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Thank you, guys.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then D'Lo and KC will take over. We got the handoff with one of those two coming up in about 30 minutes right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. We're going to put a pin in the Mike Brown stuff.
Oh?
Because I think we've said basically everything we can say about it.
And then we had Charlie say some of it again.
And Charlie came in hot, which is fine. Anytime Charlie wants to come hang out with us, he is more than welcome. Mostly because he holds our careers in his hands every day.
I guess.
So like, what am I going to do? Tell him no? Like, hey, I want to come talk about whatever you want.
Okay, Charlie.
Like, yeah, you want to come talk NASCAR, whatever it is you're into.
But then he came out here and he started talking about how like he doesn't care about sports talk shows. We're like,
that was crazy.
Like, come
that
on, bro.
That was wild.
That's like unnecessary.
Yeah, just taking shots. Like, so yeah, that look, we both think that the Mike Brown contract's getting done. The Kings made a whoopsie going to Shams, and that's the long and short of it.
Yeah.
Summary, and then we're going to move on.
Yeah, I definitely do feel like it's going to get done, like, eventually. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm hoping that we just took, like, some weird sidesteps here, and this thing will get done relatively quick.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sitting right there. It's not like...
It's a layup. The Kings have the ball uncontested under the basket, and they're doing the pumping.
Yeah,
they're pumping.
Yeah.
Like, dude, stop. And then they just, like, spun it off the backboard to rebound it to themselves with a shot. It's like, dudes, put it in the bucket.
Just like, score the bucket.
If you want to go reverse with the lefty, however, I don't care.
I don't
put
either.
Put it in the basket.
Yeah. All right. We are right there. We are right there.
Very, very close. All right, let's do a good idea or bad idea. Huh? Sound good?
Yeah.
Sound like a good time? All right. Good idea or bad idea. We do the segment every day. Three things.
Good idea.
Three things happening in the news. And then we take those things and we decide whether the thing that happened is a good idea or a bad idea. Hey, that's James. Right. Hey, James. James. Negotiating via the press. Good idea or bad idea?
I would say that's a bad idea, Kyle.
Yeah. That's not a great idea. Honestly, though, hey, hang on. In general, yeah, but I think sometimes it's a good idea.
Every once in a while, you have to do something like this, but...
Especially if you're a player, specifically a player.
I think, yeah.
And Mike Brown is like, or not Mike, and your front office is telling you, hey, here's what you're going to offer you, and it's super low and below market value, and they're just not moving off of that, and you want to go demand a trade publicly, or your agent wants to go out and make some statement, then fine. Mm-hmm. Because you need public opinion can sometimes sway a team. But most of the time negotiating through the press, not a great idea.
I would agree. I concur, Kyle.
Number two. I don't know if you saw this after the Mavericks won the final. The Mavericks won the Western Conference Finals, by the way. We had not mentioned that yet. They dominated. I came on this radio show yesterday and I said, I kind of think the Timberwolves are going to roll tonight. And then they didn't.
And I kept telling you, I don't have a feel for this. I felt like there was going to be one game where there's just nothing you can do where Luka and Kyrie get hot and you're going to get destroyed. Yeah. I did not think it was going to be last night.
That was last night for sure.
I thought so game six probably, but
that's exactly where I was. I thought the Timberwolves were going to roll last night. The Mavs are going to lock back in for game six and win it at home. Alas, Luka scored 20 in the first quarter, wound up with 36. It was just unbelievable last night. And after the game, Luka is enjoying a beer with his dad, standing in the hallway and in the tunnel underneath the stadium, having a beer, hanging out with Pops. Michael Finley, Mavericks legend, walks up, daps up Mr. Doncic. Little bro hug, goes up to Luka, just very calmly swipes the beer out of Luka's hand, didn't make a scene, didn't say anything, didn't splash it everywhere, just grabbed it out of his hand, and then walks away.
Did he drink it when he walked away?
No, he just took it.
I wonder if he was like, oh, we probably don't want that being the image of you standing out here with a beer in your hand. Or if he's like, no, I'm just going to big time you, Rook, and I'm going to take you.
I think that's exactly what it was.
I'm just going to steal your beer.
That's what I hope it was.
Yeah.
I hope they're not like, oh, image of Luka. Like, image of Luka standing in the tunnel drinking a beer after he just pulled the Timberwolves' arms and legs off and threw them into a fire.
Yeah.
Like, that's hilarious. That's incredible.
I think it's
amazing.
I'm almost like surprised he didn't have one of the like Las Vegas, like the foot.
Oh, dude, that, the with yard, the straw in it?
The yard of like, you can see him like sipping on like the red daiquiri one. Like,
so I had not been to Vegas as an adult.
Oh,
as like a 21-year-old adult with friends. I had been once, but I was with a girlfriend and her parents at the time, so it was kind of a weird vibe for your boy.
Okay.
I didn't go to Vegas with friends until I was like 24.
Oh.
And I found out that not only can you get like 3 feet of strawberry daiquiri.
A yard of daiquiri.
But then they float it with Everclear.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, what an amazing place. I love this place. I'll never go back. But at the time, it was great. It was a really, really, fun time. Shout out to Las Vegas. Yeah. Bad idea for Michael Finley. Let Luka have his beer.
No, I think it's a good idea because I think you need to make sure that he knows he's still not the man. You're the man.
Sure, Michael Finley, we're more the man in Dallas.
When we hang a banner, you're the man. You're not the man right now.
I like that. But maybe that was the message. Like, hey, you can drink a beer and celebrate after we win the whole thing.
Yeah, and he's like their GM or their assistant GM.
Yeah,
like,
he's
Michael Finley.
He's an important person.
Yeah, he is.
Not just a rando hanging out.
He's always been nice every time I've actually met him, like as in his current job.
He has a nice guy face to me.
Yeah.
He looks like he'd be a kind person.
Yeah, I think he is a kind person.
Good. Number three, ESPN's Football Power Index said, to hell with the Super Bowl hangover. The 49ers are the number one team in football. They have the highest chance, again, according to ESPN's FPI, their Football Power Index analytics, whatever they do, they run their simulations and this and that. They have the highest chance to win the Super Bowl this year at 16%, the Chiefs number two at 12%, the Lions number three at 10%. Good idea or bad idea to make the Super Bowl losing 49ers? And before you answer, I did the research on this today. Six teams have ever, this does not include the Buffalo Bills, who went to four straight Super Bowls and lost all of them, which is just devastation. But six teams, including the Bills, who did it four times, have ever lost a Super Bowl and then gone back the next year.
Mm.
Only three teams have ever lost a Super Bowl and then gone back and won it the next year. And only one team, the Patriots, who did it in Super Bowl, lost Super Bowl 51, won Super Bowl 52, are the only team since the turn of the century to do it.
Okay, so I'm looking at this and then like whatever their metric system is for doing some of these rankings, I don't ever understand because we keep meaning to get to it, but don't they have Melton as like the number six free agent in the NBA this year?
Yeah, ahead of Pascal Siakam.
And OG Anunoby. He's just right there above them.
Yeah, because of his wins above replacement metric, whatever that is.
Yeah, and then his WAR. And then his, he's like, was it Malik Monk number 10?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, I think maybe it's possible that they have a broken calculator.
Yeah.
It's like, I think the Niners can be there. Yeah, I do. I think that they can get there. And I'm not going to tie too much into like what's happened in the past. Like I think every individual season, every team has its own place and you have to see how they go and like all that stuff.
Yeah, but this is a strictly on paper thing. They eliminate any other variable.
Yeah.
Like they
on paper, the 49ers should have the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, on
talent
paper,
wise,
very much so.
Best team in the NFL. But that doesn't mean you're going
to
win it.
If I had $1,000 to bet on a team to win the Super Bowl this year, I'm not putting it on San Francisco.
No, I'm putting it on the Chiefs again. Like, yeah. Come on now.
I'd rather, until they get unseated, I think that's probably the move. A bad idea for ESPN to tout the Niners as the, or ESPN FPI, I guess. I don't want to say ESPN. Seth Walder did not pick the 49ers. He simply ran the numbers.
Put it through a machine.
Put it, and the machine spit it out. So whatever machine spit that out, that's a poor idea. So that's where we land on that. We need to talk about the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Because we have a matchup. Celtics-Mavs. It doesn't happen for like, 6 days?
Yeah.
Next Thursday is when the finals start.
I can't wait for Monday when we got nothing to talk about.
Bad idea on the scheduling there. But we'll talk about that NBA Finals matchup. And we'll also have your calls at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the phone number. Don, I see you on the line. We will get you after the break. And if you want to join in, it's just going to ring because that's how calls have to work on this show. So it's just going to ring. Have some patience. We'll talk finals. We can talk Mike Brown, whatever you want. We got that coming up next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. I should probably turn the mics on. We're hanging out with you for another half hour right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo today, I believe, for the handoff. That's coming up in about 15 minutes.
He might bring some fire.
I can't wait. I'm really, really excited to get his thoughts on just kind of how the whole Mike Brown thing has gone down. But we'll put a pin in the Mike Brown thing for now. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. James and I are going to talk about the NBA Finals a little bit.
Oh.
And about the Dallas Mavericks win over the Timberwolves last night and just kind of the Mavericks' little playoff run in general. If you would like to take the pin out of the Mike Brown thing and discuss it, give us a call, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
What's up with it? Hey, Kyle Hammer, it's TC.
Oh, TC.
TC. Call screener, oh, got it wrong again.
Hey, I told you that's my nickname. I'm just going around with it, man. Don't even trip.
I love it. Go ahead.
Hey, now, so look, hey, him. Hey, pay that man, man. Like, I don't know. I said, so I don't know if it's Brown. It could be on the flip side, right? I want to say something about the Niners, too, Kyle. But
go for it.
As far as Brown, what if Brown is saying, I know it sounds crazy, but what if Brown is saying, you know what? I'm going to hold off. You know what I'm saying? I know the deal came through, but what if Brown is like, you know what? I want to hold off and see what Monty is going to do with these moves. Like, stop making handicap moves. Get some guys in here that I want to get in here. And if we can get some guys in here, then we can continue to talk. But if not, then, bro, we're just going to be tabled because I'm tired of this guy bringing guys in that I don't want. What if he's on that side of the spectrum? I don't know. Maybe it sounds crazy, but you know what I'm saying? What if Brown's like, hold on, you guys aren't getting the guys I want. I want to hold off. And as far as the Niners, Kyle,
yeah.
You know what, man? I'm over it, bro. You know, if we're going to win it, we're going to win it. I'm like George Kittle, man. I'm just jaded. Kyle, in my opinion, Shanahan is losing that locker room, bro. You know what I'm saying? And they have to win it, bro. If they win it and they get on the run this year, fine and dandy. But I'm not losing sweat and sing. I'm not super Niner this year, bro. I'm a diehard, bro, but I'm just not super Niner this year. If we win, we win, bro. Other than that, bro, I'm cool, dog.
Thanks.
That's all I got.
Thanks, DC. Appreciate you. Let's talk about the on the Niners. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sure.
So
I disagree on the Kyle Shanahan losing the locker room thing, just based on people I talked to who are there.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I know TC's out. I can't fathom a scenario where Mike Brown is negotiating a contract and going, I'm actually going to go into this year sans deal because I want to wait and see what
you need to prove it yet. To me that you're yeah. serious
I love
about
the,
this.
Like, I love the idea.
I do too.
I don't think that's what's happening here.
No, and
if you can get your money, get your money.
Also, from everything I've heard, it's not like Mike has gone in and made a demand like, hey, I need more control. We haven't, like, has anyone noticed that? Like, we haven't had the, I need more control over what's happening. I need a bigger voice. No. No, Mike's there to coach a team. You put a team in front of him, he's going to coach it. And, you know, sometimes that means you have the number one rated offense. Sometimes that means that you have a more balanced attack the next year and the offense falls off a little bit.
Yep.
You know, sometimes that means that you're going to have a great defensive team because that's what he's built around.
Yep.
So I don't think he's like if I were in control of this, like TC seems to believe, I would just sign. I would give him like I would negotiate for sure.
Sure.
Like because that's what this is about. You got to negotiate and you don't just have to give everybody everything they want. But I certainly would have a $8-9 million deal on the table with incentives to get him over 10.
Yeah.
And that's where I would be. And that's because I understand that the going rate is that.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Fair is fair.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm right there with you. I have nothing else to add. Like you said, we've been talking about this
all day.
All week. The Dallas Mavericks, 124-103 in game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. They punched their ticket 9 total games in the Conference Finals.
Mm.
Yuck. The Finals don't start until June 6th. I've been impressed with the Celtics all year. That they're in the finals is not a shock to me. They've been dominant in the playoffs. Take the injury stuff off the table. That maybe they lose one or two more games en route to the finals, but they would be here anyways. I personally believe that. But what the Mavericks have done, I don't view their run as, oh, wow, a 5 seed just kind of got a favorable route, and now they're here. Like, no, man, they look legitimately dominant right now. And I am so impressed with Not only Luka and Kyrie, they've both been excellent in their own rights, but the way PJ Washington has stepped up, Derek Lively was a massive difference maker in the conference finals, which is a stunner for a rookie to have that kind of impact. Daniel Gafford has been really good. PJ Washington, Derek, like top to bottom, it's like, man, the Mavericks are a really, really good team.
I think they are too. I'm surprised they are where they are. Mm-hmm. And that's because, number one, they fell apart last year and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Didn't make the play-in, didn't even come close. I think they won something like 36 games last year.
Mm.
And then this year, they were just kind of rudderless. Like, they weren't very good early in the season. They were just kind of hanging out. And you're like, okay, what is this team? Mm-hmm. Are they going to put it together? Are they going to figure it out? And then it's rare to see a team go and make a couple of moves that become so incredibly impactful. And especially, we're not talking about like some giant move. And I would even make the argument again, I'll make this, you traded for Daniel Gafford, who's on a losing team, like the most unserious team in the NBA, we talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You trade for him, and somehow he just fits in perfect and is everything he was in Washington and more.
Yep.
You trade for PJ Washington,
the second least serious team in the
who
league.
Who is in like one of the worst situations that you can possibly be in the league. That is a bad team with bad vibes and bad things happening around it.
You had Steve Clifford, the coach, coming out like, this team stinks. If we're not perfect, we're not going to win a game. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That was such a bad place to be.
And then didn't he like walk away at the end? I think he did. I don't think he got fired. I think he said, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, this is my second time around.
I hope so.
I'm out. I'm good.
I did not see that. I don't follow Steve Clifford very closely, but now I'm going to look
at him. No, I do think that he resigned at the end. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he resigned at the end of the year.
I hope he did. Steve Clifford's going to be my hero if that's what happened.
Here would be my point. You took a guy on a team.
He stepped down.
Yeah, he stepped down, right? So you always have to worry that when you go pick up a player like PJ Washington, who's putting up stats on a bad team, that he's just a guy putting up stats on a bad team and that those stats won't translate. And sure enough, he steps on the court and just becomes better and better and better and better. So I think the moral of the story is, don't just leave guys for dead because they play for bad teams.
Yeah.
It's possible that they can help you, mm-hmm. but also look at how big of a risk those plays were. Mm-hmm. You gave up first round picks for both of those guys.
Yeah.
And like both of those trades, you added a first round pick to them.
But at the same time, that was a swing they absolutely had to make.
Mm-hmm.
You had Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, and you had just missed the playoffs, and this year wasn't going the right way. You had to do something to push your chips in.
Yes.
And they did, and those big swings wound up working out for them. And now those first-round picks that they traded are probably going to be a little bit less impactful down the road.
Yep.
And I think the other part of this is, not only did those moves work out so far to perfection, and conversations change so quickly in the NBA. If the Mavericks fall apart in the playoffs, and PJ Washington scores 9 points the entire series, they're gonna be looking and go, wow, PJ Washington move failed tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't view this as, and I'm not saying you said this, but I don't view this as, wow, the Mavs really, I'm surprised that they got to the finals, but during each series, I was not shocked by how the series went. Like, there was never, it was just like, oh man, look, role players stepped up. Oh man, monster Luka game. Oh, monster Kyrie game. Oh, this game, PJ Washington. Oh, this one is Derek Jones. Oh, look at Derek Lively going out and having a month. It was just, oh, and by the end of it, you sit here, and you go, this is just a really good team. They're really high quality because of those moves they made. They worked out. They panned out.
So look, the Sacramento Kings played them on January 27th, and the Kings beat the Mavericks 120-115. At that point, the Mavericks were 25-21 on the season. They were 4 games over 500.
Man,
that's like one of those moments. After that, they go on to win a ton. They beat the Magic, but then they lost two, and then they rattle off six in a row, and next thing you know, they're in the conversation. Those six in a row they rattle off, it's right around when they're making deals. And like, I think that there is a certain amount of energy that comes with going out and adding for your team. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there is. I think when you add, like, guys, first of all, the first instinct is like, oh man, I'm going to miss so-and-so. The next thing is like, oh yeah, like, look what we just got.
Mm-hmm.
And players are, when they're on the court, they understand what they're missing. Like, they understand their limitations as a group.
Sure.
It's not like you go into every game and you're like, oh, I don't understand why we keep losing. No, it's why you hear players go, man, their length and athleticism killed us.
Yeah.
Just going to mention that. Their length and athleticism killed us.
Night after night.
Night after night. Night. Like, oh, man, you know, well, that's a really, really big team.
Yep.
Hint, hint.
Shouting it from the rooftops.
I don't know what happened. That's a really, really good team. Yeah. And,
that's just the truth, dog.
It is. It's just the truth, dog. And Kyle, I would also point out that when the Kings beat the Mavericks at that point, they were 26-18.
Man.
They were 8 games over .500. The Mavericks were 4 games over .500.
So 2 games up on the Mavs?
Yeah, I think so.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, just...
So, look, it's right there. And that's why I don't think the Kings are that far off. I don't. Like, they didn't get something done at the deadline. There's a reason why they didn't get something done at the deadline. I don't know what that reason is, but there is. Like, whether they had, like, 2 deals slip through their fingers or they had put all their eggs in the Pascal Siakam bucket. But, like, the days leading up to the trade deadline were so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got nothing. Nothing on the Kings at all.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like they had got to a certain point where they're like, okay, we know what it's going to take to get us to where we need to go, but we're not ready to do that yet. We need to ride this season out because the big trade that you don't make sometimes, you know, can also be the best thing that you do.
Yeah, and we've tried to reconstruct this before, the Daniel Gafford trade and the PJ Washington trade for the Kings. It's just you couldn't really do it without turning it into a massive, massive overpay. So maybe it's not that deal this year, but I do think that, okay, you didn't push Shane at the last deadline, you didn't push in the year before that, but hey, this offseason you got to make moves, and then if those moves are working out and you're right there, come trade deadline time, then it is time to take those kind of swings.
Yeah.
And if you weren't, if you thought they could do it this year or should do it this year, so be it. But the Kings obviously weren't ready to do it, didn't think so, but it's like, hey, eventually you have to. And if you're not at that point at this trade deadline where you're like, hey, we are like a couple pieces away. We're a couple, like, I know PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford start for them, but a couple of role players away from really getting this thing where we can make a run, then I think you have a much bigger problem. But it has to start this offseason. Like, that's what we're going to continue to talk about. Next trade deadline is next trade deadline. That's, what, 8-9 months away?
Yeah.
Whatever that is. There's an offseason first. And you got to take care of that. And you got to be in a position, like the Mavs were at the trade deadline, to go, hey, we're going to offload some real assets and get difference makers in the building.
Yeah, totally. And I can also, like, We talk about this. We don't know what exactly was on the table, what wasn't. But there also could have been a trade out there where the Kings had to push all in, but on a player that they really, really liked that maybe was injured. Maybe there's something wrong with that player. Maybe even like the trade itself would have to be so lopsided where you're giving up like 3 rotational pieces for one. Mm-hmm. And the fear in the back of your mind is like, yeah, I like this trade, but I don't think I'm ready to make this trade and cost us what could be a playoff run this year, right? Cost us the last 25, 30 games of the season where we're going all in, but it's going to thump us. We know we can project what's going to happen when we make this trade in the short term. And this is a trade we're going to table and we're going to come back to maybe this summer when it makes more sense for us, because there is a certain amount of pressure to make the playoffs the second time. And some of the deals that are out there that you want to make are such heavy swings for the fences that you can look at and go, okay, I don't think I want to risk throwing away this season right here and burning some momentum when I think we could probably make this deal in the offseason and still come away with a very similar look.
Yeah.
Just have enough time during the offseason to build the team around the trade that we made.
Yeah.
You know? So like all of these things are complicated.
Good for the Mavericks. I'm really excited for this series. I think Boston's probably going to win, but I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. I don't know either, but I would pick Boston. I'm going to pick Boston.
Okay. I'm not going to bet against Luka and the heater he's on, and I'm not going to bet against Kyrie and the heater he's on. And like you have it written down, like who are the best eight players in this, right?
Yeah. We'll do that next week.
Okay. But like I would still, right? Yeah, you know, but you understand where I have a hard time believing that the Mavs don't have the two best players in this.
Yeah, you're right. Mavs in five, I think. Nothing.
That's a stare down at Jesse.
Dude, Jesse's so confident. Jesse, there's nothing I can say right now that's going to bother Jesse. I love that. He's in his zone.
Oh, that's funny.
He's in his zone. This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, hang on. I just got the guy who's doing my backyard. Let's go. The guy who's doing my backyard.
Yep.
Because our backyard right now is patio. A little bit of patio, and then it's a lot of dirt and weeds. We have these old fruit trees that are overgrown, and they drop nasty ass fruit on the ground, and we get these nasty ass bugs that want to eat the fruit. So we're like, hey, wipe it all out, and we're gonna redo concrete sprinklers, the whole works. And I just got word from him that they're starting a day earlier than we thought they were going to, so I will have my backyard a day earlier.
That's right.
I'm so excited to sit outside and have a drink.
Good catch.
No, it's gonna be great. We get to host people, we get to have people over. I don't have a lake, I'm not gonna have a boat, but I'll have plenty of space to have a little patio set.
It does
table
go,
chairs.
There is a rule with this, you know,
maybe
this,
a little
right?
Awning.
Like the best thing is not to have a boat, is to have a friend with a boat. So you have a friend with a boat.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, so it's multiple hours away, but that's fine.
Well, that's true.
It's time for the handoff. Damian Barling.
Uh oh.
In the building.
I think he's going to punch somebody.
Damian, get excited.
Why is that?
Because I just got word that my backyard, Reno, that's short for renovation,
very nice,
is going to start a day earlier than originally scheduled. I'm pretty amped.
That's exciting.
That's what we've been talking about
great.
All day. That's the
awesome.
Biggest news of the day.
That's terrific. The sources say that Kyle's backyard renovation, though, is... It's a little more expensive than he originally anticipated. And
wrong-o, coach. I was ready to be like, what do you need me to do just in case? You need me to take out the trees? Yeah. I'll take out the trees. Whatever you need.
I mean, move these rocks. What do you need?
D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. So we've been talking a lot about the Mike Brown thing today.
Can't imagine why.
Look, here's where I think James, for the most part, landed on it. It's not the 3 years, $21 million with an additional six in incentives.
Yeah, and for the record, that's not a competitive offer.
No.
That is absolutely not a competitive offer. And Shams 100% tipped his source when he threw that word in there.
Yes.
That is a line directly from someone within the Sacramento Kings organization.
Yes.
Because there is no scenario where Warren Gary would, hey, they made a competitive offer, but we said no.
Right, and that's it. So, but that was a
you can make all the faces you want to. There's no way that happened.
It's not a competitive offer, but it's a reasonable low-ball first offer from a team.
Right, I agree.
The issue is putting that out. Whoever the heck it was, putting that out, it's like, why?
So this is it, but it all goes back to the Woj tweet, and the Woj tweet is the one I'm struggling the most with. Is
what? Go ahead.
The original Woj tweet.
Yeah, no,
right?
I know.
Like, and that's what I think this tweet from Shams was about. It's like, no, we're this is just a negotiation. At this point, all that's happening is two parties are negotiating. If you have ever been in a contract negotiation, you know it sucks. Like, it absolutely sucks. My contract negotiation to add KSFM to our daily responsibilities was not public. Right. Mm-hmm. So
you should admit. Ooh.
Yeah. Well,
ooh,
no.
Let me get in a contract negotiation here. Ooh.
But like that's what happens. Like, hey, we could pay this. Come on, man. No, you can't. You could pay me this. And this is what people in my position earn. And we can point to what Rick Carlisle is earning right now. We can. I don't know what Jace. The tweet that's really thrown me off was Sean's. Sean's tweet sent me into a tailspin because
Sean Cunningham not
sorry.
Shams Charania.
Yeah, Sean Cunningham's tweet about the offer was competitive with what Jason Kidd's extension was, which to the best of our knowledge is not public, which means in Sean stated, you know, according to a source, but I'm fairly confident Jason Kidd is at least approaching $10 million. So the information Sean got has to be completely unrelated to the information that Shams tweeted, because there's no way Jason Kidd's contract extension was what Shams tweeted Mike Brown was being offered. That math does not math at all. And that's what I was saying last night as I was combing through all these different messages. This doesn't add up at all.
That's why I kept saying, like, we can't go on basketball reference. We can't pocket watch coaches.
Right, right.
We can sort of now. All of a sudden we can, because there's all these coaches that got these big money. We keep seeing the deal. But that doesn't mean we actually know what Spoelstra's contract. It's an 8-year $120 million. That could literally be an 8-year $100 million deal with $20 million in
right.
and incentives, and we have no idea.
Right. We don't know what the incentives are. We don't know what
we don't know any of that stuff is, and so we don't know the structure of a deal or anything else. But my sources tell me that's not at all the 3-year $21 million is not at all what Jason Kidd got.
Yeah, no, it's
off by a couple of million bucks.
Yep. Per year.
Yeah. Yes.
Per year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and so that to me is like, I don't know where that came from. And also, why is Mike Brown being compared to Jason Kidd, who has a 522 win percentage career wise, who has had like as a coach slash player had domestic issues? Like there are some who's been fired by multiple jobs for having really low win percentages.
Oh, I can tell you why. I can tell you why. Because it's sexy now.
Because he's in the finals.
That's it.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay.
That's 100% why.
Yeah.
You can't compare him to Mike Budenholzer, who he is a damn near mirror image of. With one notable exception, he's a damn near mirror image of, because he makes $10 million per year, and that's public.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, also, he's at home. But hey, Kings fans, look. We offered him what Jason Kidd makes. Look where Jason Kidd is at right now. And the fact is, no, you didn't. There's a lot. There's just a lot. Because
coming up on D'Lo and Casey.
Yeah, there's just a lot. Like, and I think you tweeted something like this, James. The original Woj line on Friday about the talks have been tabled. We joked earlier this week. You know that could just mean for the weekend.
Yes.
It could have meant let's just get through the Memorial Day.
Yeah.
By all accounts, that's exactly what it meant. They didn't walk away from this.
Talks been tabled.
They did not walk away from this. What, like, all right, no, forget it.
Hey,
they've been talking.
I'm going to tweet out from the ESPN 1320 account at 12:01 here that the insiders have been tabled.
Very, very good.
Tabling the insiders.
Charlie says he doesn't care about sports.
Yeah, Charlie got on this airwaves and was like, I don't care about sports radio hosts.
Charlie, please.
Charlie O.
Charlie said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe that.
What are you guys going to talk about today?
A lot of this. Yeah, a lot of this. There's a lot of posturing that's happening in the NBA right now. Mm. And we're hyper-focused for obvious reasons and rightful reasons on Sacramento and Mike Brown. It's happening all across the league. Like, if you read my man Keith Pompey in the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Sixers are posturing with everyone. It's just that time of year right now.
Yep.
28 teams are at home. And they're all looking for something to do, so they're calling the James Hams and the Keith Pompeys and the Shams and the Wojes and those different people in their posturing. And that's all that's happening in Sacramento right now. That's all that's happening across the NBA. And we'll cite 50 different examples happening across the league.
Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up next. Kyle and James will be back with you Monday. Everybody have a great
tabled.
And safe weekend.
They're tabled till Monday.
We're tabled. The Insiders is tabled. D'Lo and KC next.
Bring your ass.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.